Thank you, Julia. That was really awesome. It was really encouraging. Thank you. Yeah, so that was really encouraging just to be reminded that, yeah, just how Ezekiel, yeah, preached that. But we've also got another youth who is going to come on up and just share, but we're going to do it interview style. And his name is Enoch. Enoch Jern. Come on up, Enoch.
Hi, Enoch.
Hey.
You're not having a conversation with me. You're kind of having a conversation, but we need people to see your face. Hi, okay. Enoch. How are you?
I'm all right.
How many hours of sleep did you have when you got back?
I watched the opening ceremony for the Olympics.
Me too! I stayed up for that.
But I only watched like 20 minutes of it because I fell asleep.
Yeah, me too. How was Fat Camp for you this year?
Nice.
Nice. What did you enjoy the most?
I liked the group games are really cool. Basically, what we did was it was Battle of the Sexes, and well, except for our pastor who had gender issues, and we basically did like a massive version of volleyball. So it was about 100 aside, and volleyball was insane, but the boys won.
What about the food? How's the food?
There was a salad bar, which is nice. And
you had pot noodles?
No, I didn't bring any money, but I don't really.
Yeah, there was pot noodles for people to have, just in case they didn't enjoy the food, because it was very, let's just say, canteen-y, high school canteen type thing.
The beef was okay.
Okay. But what was one thing that God taught you at Fat Camp? Because it's your first Fat Camp, right?
No, second.
Oh, it's the second, okay. What did God teach you at Fat Camp?
Well, I went to one of the workshops, and this workshop was taught a bit about how to preach to other people. And so one of the points the talker was saying was that you shouldn't argue with the person you're trying to preach with. You shouldn't have to try a debate. You've got to see it from their point of view. And he came up with like a few quotes from other famous Christians, and I've got some here. This one's from Philip Yancey. No one ever converted to Christianity because they lost the argument. And then another one by Charles Spurgeon. The gospel is like a caged lion. It does not need to be defended. It just needs to be let out of its cage.
Yeah. Those are some really good verses, some good quotes there. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, he went to this workshop by one of the Boston folks there who came over. And what was the title of the workshop? It was How to Answer Hard Questions. And that was really good, because a lot of the people got challenged just to know how to evangelize and speak to people in their school who are like agnostic or atheists. So yeah, that was really good. How was your small group? Because I see that there's like pictures of you and your small group up there. How was your small group time?
They're very supportive. In a way, they're quite similar to last year. Like, you had the quiet one, the thinking one, the slightly slightly loud person. You had the funny part, the funny, clever guy. And then you had me. And then...
So what are you? What are you? Just...
I'm a bit of everything.
Ah, we got an all-rounder. Nice. Yeah, so that sounds good. But what did you think of the theme, Lionheart?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Why?
because, yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about this later. But thank you, Enoch, for sharing a little bit about what you learned. And yeah, just give him a round of applause. Thanks, Enoch. So those are two of our youths, and actually it's really good and encouraging for me because I'm actually their youth leader in ID. We meet downstairs during the Cantonese service, and we start at 1 and finish at 3. So if you know of any teenagers between the ages of 12 to 18, come get them to stop by. But it's really encouraging just to see Enoch and Julia grow so much over the past couple of years that they've come to ID, and even just to see them mingle with people at Fat Camp and participate in the games, and just to see that, you know, their own spiritual walks with God is maturing and growing. It's really encouraging for the leaders because it's just a really good reminder that our work is not in vain. It's actually God who's leading them. And so, I love that. That's why I love Fat Camp, and that's why I love to serve at Fat Camp. But we're going to have two leaders come on up, but one at a time. We got Jason Wan. He's going to come on up, and he was a leader. He's been to several. I don't know how many. You should come on up. Tell us. Tell us more. Woo! Hi, Jason.
Hello.
Thanks for agreeing to doing this. You didn't have a choice. How many Fat Camps have you been to?
PHAT or FAT? Six.
Six Fat Camps, okay. I see there's a picture of you up there in one of them wearing pink. What's all that about? That's not from this year, by the way.
That's not me.
He was wearing that last year on a Wednesday. On his t-shirt it says, "On Wednesdays we wear pink," is a Mean Girls reference. And there's Josh in the background, who's one of the camp directors for this year's one. But so I'm going to leave you up here and leave you stranded, and as you tell us a bit about what you learned. Thanks.
Okay. Hello, I'm Jason. That's not me. So a bit about me is I just came to Birmingham last year. I guess my sharing's not so much fat-focused, but it is kind of at the same time. I think I came last year to about 11 months ago. So I live with Ken, worship leader, and Locke, who's just out there. This past year, I think God's been really pressing into my heart about unity, not just within us three, but within the church. And there are just 7 points which I feel like God's been telling me to achieve unity, and apart from chasing God's own heart, which is through humility, leading onto grace, and from grace leading onto honesty, and from honesty leading to intimacy, authenticity, and from that authenticity into unity. And at FAT, I think it was just a good time to focus, because being here, working and having a busy lifestyle, I think God plays, 20%, 30% of my life. And I'm always busy, busy, busy. But at FAT, I got to just really dwell on his presence and speak to him. And I think upon reflecting, God was just really convicting me, saying, these points I've been giving you, do you really feel like, as a Christian, is that what you've been doing? I came to BCC, Birmingham, to be served. But God basically spoke to my heart and said, you know, are you just here to be served, or do you want to serve? To grow, I need to serve my brothers and sisters as well. So in that way, I think at FAT, having a lot of alone time and often leaving my co-leader, sorry, Kenny, I just got to really get to know what God really wanted in my heart. And I think from my side, obviously Ken isn't here, but Locke is. I want to apologize to those guys because I don't feel like I was loving you guys like God called me to do. And even at the very first point, which is humility, I didn't even have that in the house. I was waiting to be served, but I think God really spoke to me this year and said, you know what, he basically kicked me in the butt and said, you know, you've come here to grow, and to grow, you've got to, you know, love your brothers and sisters. And if I can't love the people that I live with, my brothers, then how can I love anyone else? So I feel like, God really spoke to me in terms of really loving. And I can't really love you properly, but, you know, it's about trying. And I think coming to BCC, even though I don't know you all, I think God's really called me to love you all. And as awkward as that sounds, I'm going to try and serve you all in some way or other. But yeah, they're the 7 points which I feel like God's really been speaking to me. And I'd be eternally grateful if you guys could push me in that as well. Not you. Not you. But yeah, just to, like, what we learned at FAT, or what I think spoke to me, was pushing each other, being accountable to each other. Because I think it's so easy for me to say, yeah, I'm accountable. But to really take it on and be humble in taking that, instead of just taking it as a slap in the face, I think that's what God's really teaching me to do. And yeah.
Thank you, Jason, for coming up and telling us about, you know, some things that you've been learning from God this past year. Jason is one of the leaders, and before we have Fat Camp, we actually have 2 days of leadership training, and it's a really good opportunity for, you know, people just to step up and learn more about what it means to serve God. Because sometimes we don't actually get a chance to learn that in our churches, or we lack the resources. And so FAT actually offers a lot of good leadership training. We have camps during October, January, and just before the FAT camp itself, just to train and equip the next generation ready to serve, not just in FAT camp, but also in their home churches. And so we're going to have a next person to come on up. We're going to have Christina, who was a leader and pastoral care staff on the team. Okay.
Oh. You're going to see me shake because I'm not very good at speaking. Okay. So actually, for a while, I've always had this negative thought about conferences and camps. Partly because when I was younger, it was a space for flirting and spiritual highs. and actually, it wasn't until I became a mum and realised that, I thought about Reuben. I thought about, oh, who's going to lead Reuben in the future? Who's going to teach him and walk with him in God? And I was thinking, well, all the teenagers right now are going to be doing that, and I was freaking out. And I thought, oh gosh, I best do something about it. And I guess like God was convicting me and saying, well, you know, don't point a finger, don't say, well, you know, these guys aren't doing it right, or you know, yeah. So I realized that both James and I could input into that. So that's what we did. So since then, actually, we've been increasingly inputting in terms of like the younger generations. So from FAT to Regen to young adults as well. And we've been doing a little, I'm not very good at holding this mic. we've been doing more pastoral care. And actually, it's given us an opportunity to actually walk with a lot of the leaders spiritually, and actually through their struggles as well. And it's not been easy, because actually for me, I'm a very emotional person, and when I see brokenness, I find it difficult, because I wish so much that I could actually do more than just praying, do more than just listening. But I realized that actually walking with them is a great opportunity for them to mold as, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. And therefore, lead the next generation, so the Reubens of the next generation. So actually, you know, understanding the weaknesses of the leaders in the past few years has allowed me to help them to self-reflect more and to learn how to become true followers of Christ and to actually relay that to the campers, and hence why it's important for them to have the leaders to have external support as well. So both James and I, Enoch, actually Ansi and Josh, Ian, we'll all be in the background just making sure that all the leaders were okay. And if not, we'll be there to pray and, you know, just to encourage them. So I think a lot of people here today, they probably, you know, you probably aren't exposed to the teens as much. With Ansi and Terrence, they're very aware of their struggles. And actually, every year during FAT, they'll share. There'll be testimony and the campfire, which everyone loves because it's something different. During that time, it's a time where they can share their deepest struggles. And I think it's a chance for them to actually renew their faith and also realize the power of God and how, you know, how he can actually bring them to just fullness in Christ. And actually, during that time, there's no knowing what they're going to share, which is quite scary. And I remember the first time we went to FAT, I thought, oh my goodness, like, why, how can these young people be so broken? So, I mean, it goes from, you know, from child abuse to struggles with sexual orientation, mental illnesses and, you know, suicidal thoughts. And I think these are children. And I've got, with being a parent, it's like, you know, what if Reuben goes through that? How would I deal with that? How would I walk with them? And actually, I realized that it might not be me that does that. It'll be the people such as the teens or even the students now. And actually, I feel compelled to walk with these people because I want so much for them to not only be healed, but actually to share the love and the grace that God has given them for generations to come. And I hope that, you know, all of you who haven't been exposed to FAT or conferences and things, that you realize that we, as the church, have the responsibility to raise a generation, to spread the good news, to fulfill the commission. And actually, none of us are perfect. All of us have weaknesses, both leaders and, you know, campers alike. And I think actually, when you understand the power that God has, you realize that you're not doing it in your own strength. You're not doing it in your with your own ideas. But actually, you're allowing God to work through those things and to use those things to help the generations to come. And yeah, I just hope that, you know, even if you're a mom or a dad or a young working adult, it's easy for us to just focus on ourselves. It's easy to just do church because you're waiting to see what God can do for you. But actually, I just want to put it out there for you. What can you do for the kingdom? And what can you allow God to do through you for the for the children of the next generation. So if you ever want to, or if you feel that God is moving you to do something, please feel free to speak to Ansi, James, or I, or actually Josh is here too, Josh and Vivian. Yeah, we're more than happy to have you guys to come and help for FAT or Regen or anything like that. And yeah, so actually, I just want to share one last thing. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see that actually on the I shared a little of this on Instagram. So on the last night of FAT, as we were deciding whether or not to go out because it was raining for the campfire, there was an amazing rainbow. Yeah, there is. Oh, you got it. there was this amazing rainbow. And yeah, we're just reminded of God's covenant between him and all creation. You know, as the rain and the light collide, there is this amazing bow. And actually, this bow actually represents the bow and arrow. And the bow is pointing to heavens, allowing us to actually understand that the arrows are no longer pointing at us, but at him. He fights for us. And actually, we had the song, a theme song, which reminded us that he fights for us. He's not safe. He's dangerous, but he is good. And all weapons and all enemies will bow down to him. And he is always victorious. He is our Lion of Judah. And I think we want to hope for that for our children. We want to hope for that for all, for each other. That we realize the power and greatness of God. I'll just share one verse with you. Psalm 78:4. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. That's it.
Thank you, Christina. My wife always says that she's not very good at speaking, but she was great, right? She's... I have a little bit of time now. I wasn't planning on sharing, but one thing that really encourages us as leaders as we go to these camps is this idea that Jason just brought up about unity. This unity where it's not just... But us here in Birmingham, we're in a very great place. We're really grateful for the church that we have, but there's a lot of people around the country that are in Chinese churches that are really struggling. But when they come to a FAT camp, they get to meet other people who are of the same race, of the same culture, and the same background, and of the same faith. And everyone is encouraged because slowly, as this new generation is coming in, they are building networks and relationships that are making each other stronger. And one of the problems with BBC culture is that we are lost in two cultures, actually. We're not fully Chinese, and we're not fully English, which is why so many... young people growing up in the Chinese church, when they grow up, they feel as though they've out... Let's say we're in a great place because we have a great English service that's healthy and really moving. But so many people are going into churches where the English services are really struggling. So the young people, they try and go to a Western church to find feeding. But they're not fully English, so they don't fully fit in. But then, okay, fine, I'll go back to the Chinese church. And whichever city they go to that Chinese church. But their Chinese isn't great. It's BBC English. So if you're sat in front of a Cantonese service, they don't know what's going on. So the other option is to go to a bilingual one or a trilingual one, and those are just painful. So then these young people, in some ways, are lost in that language barrier, that cultural gap that is constantly, becoming a problem for them. But then at FAT camp, they get encouraged because they see, oh, wow, I'm not alone. And I think that is what really encourages us. And the second thing that really encourages us is the leaders. Now, we talk about the campers and the youth, and I just loved what Enoch and Judy had just said. That really encouraged me. But then for the leaders, the guys who are students who have just graduated, we're slowly building now. We're slowly seeing God build this army, I guess, of role models that are coming out. Because in the past, the youth would be the first ones. But because us charities have been here for longer now, we are starting to see students and young adults and workers kind of pave the way. So these young people go, oh, I see where I want to head to now. And that is so encouraging. And for us who are leading them, it is humbling. As you know, Christina says, we get to see these broken people being restored by God and then being used in such powerful, powerful ways. And the final thing I wanted to share was what I'm really encouraged by is when these young people, they come and, like these campers, teenagers, they come and talk to us about, I've just accepted Jesus. And it's like, it's that first love. Do you guys remember that first love when you first accepted Jesus and it was like all new, and then the morning after you're like, oh my goodness, this feels so strange. But the thing that convicted me was I sometimes forget my first love. In Revelation chapter 2, it talks about, he's writing to the church and he's like, you guys have abandoned what you loved at first. You guys aren't doing what you used to do anymore because we've forgotten Jesus, God, church, fellowship, worship, singing, all these become so easy and natural and routine to us now. We forget about that first love that we had, that first moment when we realized where we were before Jesus and God and where we've come with him. And for me, that is the most encouraging thing. So to the young people who have just received that first love, just cling on to it, hold on to it, do whatever you can to keep it. Ian Maher, the co-director there, on one of the mornings, every morning we encourage everyone to do devotions, to spend a bit of time to kind of start to build these good habits. And he likens it to brushing your teeth. So you have to brush your teeth, but if you don't brush your teeth after one day or 2 days or a week or a month, things start to get rotten. And it's the same as our spiritual life. If we stop brushing our teeth in the spiritual sense, things start to decay, start to get rotten. So young people, you've started this. Keep going. Keep clinging on to every time you brush your teeth, may you remember of your first love. May you remember what God has done for you right now. And for us, those of us who are a little bit more seasoned and you know, veterans at brushing our teeth or just using mouthwash these days because it's quicker, just let's be encouraged by these young people that God is moving, that his work doesn't just stop with us and feeding us, but God's kingdom is growing and growing. And because of that, let us grasp that first love again. Let us grasp that, or just remember that moment where we encountered him and we were overwhelmed by him. And then let us be stirred into action. God loves the church. He loves the church so much that he died for us. And we now seek to return that love back to him, to enthrone him, to lift him up, and to help him build that throne. And, you know, a lot of the times, young people look to us. We're all just as short as each other, but they look up to us. Actually, if we focus our gaze and look to God, they will naturally look at us and have a look at where we're looking. But if we get focused on work and family and studies and commitments, they look at us and go, oh, you guys are doing that. I guess I just focus on myself too. A few months ago, another teen, Abraham, shared with us. I don't know if you guys remember that. Oh, that guy just gave me goosebumps and he just pierced right to my heart because he's like, he called us brothers and sisters. We yearn for you as role models to push out and set the example for us for us young people to follow. So let's just remember that now. As we go into a time of worship, maybe let's just spend a few minutes praying ourselves. Maybe for some of us, the teenage years were only 5 years away, 10 years away, and some of us, it was very, very far away. Whatever it is, let's try and remember that first love and to connect to Jesus and to God and what he's doing as a church family, to stand by these young people, but recognize that we are unified by Christ. From last week's passage, that we're of the same mind, same purpose. And in humility, we follow the example of Christ. Shall we pray? Father, Lord, we thank you again for just the work that you're doing in the kingdom. We humbly come before you and say that none of this is us. Lord, those of us who are leaders, Lord, we just give all the glory to you. And Lord, we seek your wisdom and we seek your guidance in continuing, spreading your good news, fulfilling the Great Commission. We pray for each and every one of the people that have gone to Fat Camp this week and have come back refreshed and renewed. Lord, undoubtedly we know that we all face the troubles of life, the distractions, the weary burdens that we have. But Lord, can you give them the strength to cling to you? And whilst we all have weaknesses, we know that your power is made perfect in our weaknesses and that your grace is sufficient for us. So teach us, Lord, teach us how to love you. Teach us how to live for you. Teach us how to open our lives to you so that you may increase and that we may decrease. So we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We actually have a video to share just so that you get a little sneak preview as to what we did this past few days. And we just